Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always, to be part of your day. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Beth Melito, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. Beth has been with us before. She is Senior Executive Counsel at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And she's here today to talk to us about a very controversial issue that's going on right now that is affecting a lot of small businesses. It's in the courts. It's in the government. It's in the marketplace. And it's called the no-match letter, the challenge of dealing with the no-match letters. And folks, a no-match letter is from the Social Security Organization. It's a notice sent by the Social Security Administration to employers and employees to inform them that the employee's name or Social Security number listed on the W-2 does not match their records. And we're going to get Beth to tell us why this turns into a problem sometimes. Beth, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the invitation.
Did I set that up correctly?
You certainly did. You explained that very well.
Why is this a problem?
Well, it could become a problem under new federal no-match rules that were issued in mid-August. And previously, under the old no-match letter, which, as you said, came from Social Security Administration, the letter indicated that the letter did not make any statement about employees' immigration status. So, employers could resolve the letter or resolve the mismatch with their employees.
It could have been as simple as a typographical error, right?
Right. There are a lot of reasons.
I mean, the Social Security Administration obviously has my correct Social Security number, and so if somehow somebody types in the wrong number, and then they start communicating back and forth to give me credit for my taxes, et cetera, somebody says, wait a minute, this number doesn't match that number. There's something wrong here. And so then they contact somebody about that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, as you said, they're mismatched for many reasons unrelated to immigration status.
But it could be that somebody, and this is where the problem is, that somebody's trying to scam the system. They've had some records made up, and
right.
and now we've got an immigration problem and maybe a Homeland Security problem.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, so in addition to name changes, clerical errors, you're right. Sometimes there are folks using fraudulent, fake Social Security cards. So right now, there's probably about over 250 million mismatched earning statements in Social Security.
250 million?
Mismatched earning records right now with Social Security.
What?
And they estimate it's growing at a rate of...
There are only 300 million of us.
I know, 8 to 11 million records each year. But again, it's not all due to, unauthorized workers. It can be due to, other clerical errors, name changes after divorce or marriage, and other reasons. But the concern is that Social Security and Department of Homeland Security are going to start using these no-match letters as evidence of hiring, employing unauthorized persons.
Now we see, folks, where the small business owner gets caught in the middle.
Exactly. I mean, it's like before you had, as I said, there was no time limit on resolving these no-match letters. There was no, immigration consequence, if you will, from receiving one of these letters. All of a sudden in August, Department of Homeland Security comes in and says, employers, you now have to resolve these discrepancies within 90 days or you could be found to, be employing an unauthorized worker and face tough criminal civil sanctions.
So are you saying, Beth, that if I have an employee who's involved in a no-match letter, and this person is my, is my relative, I've known them since they were born.
Right. But
records are incorrect. That if that doesn't get involved, fixed in 90 days, I could be subject to a penalty or a fine or something else?
Absolutely. So say your relative, she's your cousin, she got married and she didn't change her records with Social Security. there you go. You could have a no-match situation, and it could be that you, you know, could be found, you could face civil or criminal penalties for right. if you do not, you know, resolve this discrepancy.
Well, doesn't it make sense, though? I mean, let's be fair about this, Beth.
Right.
Doesn't it make sense that if you don't give something a deadline, it never gets done?
That's
so
true.
Isn't it appropriate to say, okay, let's clear these up, let's find the exposure, mm-hmm. and so let's set a deadline and kind of motivate people to get this done?
No, and I agree with you, Jim. And as you know, NFIB members are certainly concerned with the current state of, you know, our country's immigration
right.
policy.
Right.
You know, we conducted a survey in April of 2006 that revealed more than 90% of NFIB members believed that illegal immigration was a big problem. And I think you're right. It does help to have a deadline to resolve
right.
these.
Hold that thought, Beth. We've got to take
sure.
a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beth Melito is our guest. She's Senior Executive Counsel at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, an organization I've been a member of for more than 15 years. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find our show live, replay, archived. Every interview we do is individually archived within an hour or so after I go off the air, and you can not only can listen, you can actually podcast it. You can actually take fair use possession of our archives. So check that out when you get a chance, and don't forget to check out all the articles. Subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes on Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. Our blog is there as well, and that website is 10 years old this month. And then of course our newer site, which is AskJim.biz, that's our knowledge base where you can go to get small business answers now. So check that out when you get a chance. Beth Melito, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She's been with us many times before. She's Senior Executive Counsel at the NFIB. And we're talking about the no-match letters and the problems that it's creating for small business owners. Beth, we were talking about the fact that, you know, nothing happens if you don't give it a deadline. And especially for small businesses, you know, we've got so many things to do. We've got too many things to do and not enough people to do them. So if you give me a project and you don't tell me when to get it done, I'm probably going to put it on the back burner.
Oh. You're right, Jim. You're right. And there is certainly an advantage to having a deadline now in which to resolve these no-match discrepancies. But one thing we would just ask the government agencies, you know, Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration, is now that you want to put this 90-day deadline in, can you provide us with some compliance assistance? You know, because as you said, you know, with small business owners, responsibilities fall to the owners themselves.
Right.
So
right.
there's no, you know, in-house counsel. There's probably no HR department to resolve these. So provide some training to our members.
OSHA and EPA figured this out.
Yeah.
Beth, because they realized that they weren't,
yeah.
you know, there was no, it wasn't good business to try to catch small business owners doing something
mm-hmm.
wrong. And so what they wound up doing, I think they're probably still doing this, is they're sending letters to small business owners and they're saying, okay, here are some of the things that you need to be doing. Now, they don't, these are just blanket letters, basically.
Right.
If you need any help with these things, let us know. We're not going to blame you. We're not going to fine you. If you will say, come help me, we will help you, and it won't, and you won't be fined or imprisoned or anything like that. And so it seems to me that the Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration should take that model and use it. What do you think?
I agree with you, Jim. More of a carrot rather than a stick approach,
exactly.
I think would be very good, very helpful. And it's rather than these kind of gotcha letters, which, you know, as I said, you know, NFIB members really do believe that employers who knowingly hire undocumented workers should be subject to fines.
Right.
But
right.
they need to be structured in a way that small business owners can defend themselves and really not be driven into bankruptcy or, you know, fear. So anything they can do to help business owners understand what they need to do when they receive one of these letters. And who knows, maybe they need initially more than 90 days. I mean,
right.
can the Social Security Administration all of a sudden respond to, you know, they were going to send out 140,000 letters in September.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine
yeah.
if they received 140,000 calls.
make a request to the Social Security Administration to see how fast they get back with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, based on that whole passport experience, you know about that in the last year. We just don't have a lot of confidence that a government agency could all of a sudden respond to 140,000 employers calling them, saying, I've got a mismatch. So,
did we finally get some help out of the Ninth Circuit recently? Wasn't there a court decision on this issue?
There was a court decision. There was a lawsuit filed to basically stop the rule. And what we asked was for the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration to go back and consider the impact this is going to have on small businesses. You know, under the Regulatory Flexibility Act, there's a requirement they consider least burdensome alternatives. And right now a judge has kind of put the rule in abeyance and said, you know, government, DHS, Social Security, you need to go back and do your homework here. There's definitely
they weren't even paying any attention to reg fairness, were they?
They totally blew it off.
Which is that's basically against the law, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I mean, the judge in the case agreed with the business groups and said there is going to be a cost to small businesses. It's not to say the rule can't go forward at some point, but before it does, you need to obey the Regulatory Flexibility Act and look at the impact this is going to have on small business owners, NFIB members. We filed a brief in the case and said, you know, hey, this is going to cost our members who don't have human resource experts. They don't have in-house counsel. They're going to need to figure out what to do with these letters themselves. Going to be a cost.
The Regulatory Flexibility Act, ladies and gentlemen, as I remember it, Beth, is it requires any new regulation to be dropped through a filter, a small business filter, to make sure that it doesn't create some kind of an onerous expense or difficulty for small businesses. And if it does, and if I'm not mistaken, they've got to prove that to the Office of Advocacy at the SBA first, don't they?
You are correct, Tim. That's exactly it. And then they need to consider less burdensome alternatives. So,
right.
Again,
and if it doesn't get through the filter, it can't go forward.
Exactly. So, again, it's not to say this rule can't go forward at some point, but let's just do our homework first and consider some alternatives on
how
we can...
So, right now, where is it? If somebody gets somebody listening right now gets a no-match letter today, what do they do?
Well, right now, if they get a no-match letter today, there is still no deadline, if you will, on when you need to resolve that letter. And the other important thing is...
Because of the court filing.
Because of the court finding.
Yeah.
Exactly. And right now, if you receive a letter, it will not have any impact on an immigration violation.
But if you can clear it up...
Oh, you should do that. Absolutely.
If you know what's going on, if it is that cousin we talked about, and you can see what the problem is, just fix it and get it off your plate, right?
Exactly, Jim.
Don't overlook
so right.
it, folks. Don't play with fire here. Get it done.
Right.
Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Beth Melito. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Stay with us. Back at 7 till, there's Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise known as Little Richard, still rocking after all these years. We're rocking and rolling with our friend Beth Melito. Beth is Senior Executive Counselor at the NFIB. Beth, tell us about the NFIB.
Well, the NFIB is the leading small business advocacy organization. We're dedicated to representing the interests of small business owners throughout all 50 states. Our membership consists of independently owned and operated businesses. 90% of NFIB's members have fewer than 20 employees.
Like me.
Yeah. Annual net profits usually between $40,000 and $50,000.
Somebody asked me if I was a nonprofit once, Beth. I said, "Well, I'm not. I'm not intentionally a nonprofit. That's not what I mean."
My wife says I'm nonprofit.
That's not my plan anyway. So NFIB.com, right?
Right, NFIB.com, yeah. So we represent the small guys, the smaller business owners. The only criteria, though, to become a member of NFIB is that you'd be independently owned and operated, so not publicly traded.
Right. Exactly.
But most of our members employ less than 5 workers.
Can we find out more about this no-match letter issue on your website?
We absolutely can. If you go to NFIB.com and if you type in actually no match, you'll get some information about it. We actually featured, if there are any NFIB members out there listening, we featured an article in the My Business magazine, which is our flagship magazine, great magazine with great resources for NFIB members.
So check that out. What else could we do if we get a no match letter? If we get upside down, if we start getting some pressure from the government on a no match letter, if there's somebody out there who's already gotten themselves into a bind over this, what mm-hmm. should they do?
Well, one thing you need to be real careful. Employers have to walk kind of a tightrope here, because if you get a no match letter, the one thing you do not want to do immediately is fire the employee. Because you could find yourself facing, there's actually immigration law.
Yet another way that small business owners get caught in the middle.
Right, exactly. It really is. And this law prohibits discrimination against workers. So you don't want to right away fire the employee. It's very important that you don't do that. You need to give them a chance to basically work out the discrepancy, work with the employee, find out, you know, is this due to a clerical error? Who knows? Maybe your accountant, you know, switched two numbers. Maybe your employee's gotten married and has changed their name with the Social mm-hmm. Security Administration but didn't notify your payroll.
Sometimes the problem is with the name and the number. They don't. It's not just the number's okay, but the name has been changed.
Exactly.
In your case, when you got, you know, your name used to be Gaudio, and that was your maiden name. Now it's Melito. So had to change the name on your Social Security number.
Exactly. I did. Yeah, I changed it with the Social Security Administration.
Right.
And I confess, I was a little slow with changing it with a payroll department here at NFIB. And so, truthfully, there was probably a no match situation for a little bit. I'm not saying NFIB got a no match letter, of course.
Right.
But yeah, that does happen when women get married. Sometimes people just change their last name, anglicize it.
Right.
And that can lead to a discrepancy also. And strange enough, Social Security Administration can actually make mistakes on their end, believe
imagine
it or not.
I can't imagine
a government agency making a mistake.
No, you malign them unnecessarily. Beth, do we need a lawyer when we get a letter like this? Do we need to contact counsel, or is there somebody, can somebody at the NFIB help them?
Well, NFIB members can certainly take advantage. We have an employment law hotline that our members can take advantage of, and they're welcome to call that. The attorneys on this hotline can help them work through the letter. And I would say, no, initially you don't need to call your attorney. The first thing you need to do is, check your records. Go back to the employee and say, hey, did we copy down your Social Security number correctly? Did you fill out your W-2 form, with the right number? So first of all, check your own records. If there's still a problem, have the employee maybe check with Social Security Administration. See if there's a mistake on their end.
Right.
Or, have your bookkeeper call Social Security.
There's another group that's sitting there waiting, waiting for help to help you, and that's the Ombudsman's Office over at the SBA. I've forgotten who the Ombudsman is right now at the moment. I don't know if you know who it is, Beth, or not, but there's an Ombudsman over there who is someone who is positioned to help you out if you get yourself into a bind with one of these organizations.
Exactly, and that's a great resource, Jim, and I'm glad you brought that up because they can be very helpful.
SBA.gov, and they actually have a phone number you can call where real people will answer the phone. So you can find it. I don't have that number in front of me, but it's SBA.gov. You should be able to find it, and then search for Ombudsman. Beth, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you so much, Jim. You have a great
day. We'll see you next time. Tell everybody, our friends at NFIB, hello over there.
Will do. Thank you.
Beth Melito, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you, happy Bosses Day. This is Jim Blassingay. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.